called glory. So bright and so fair. When I entered the gates, I cried, holy, the angels all met me there. They carried me from mansion to mansion, and all the sights I saw. But then I said, I want to see Jesus, the one who died for all. Then I bowed on my knees and cried, holy. I cried, holy. To the Son of God. Glory to the Son of God. As I enter.
I tell you, we're going to come back to that. I want you to hear the rest of it. He's coming. I said, Jesus is coming, and I don't know of anything I could be more excited about than that Jesus is coming. I'm looking for him. You know, Paul said to the church at Hebrew, in the book of Hebrews, he said, unto them that look for him, unto them that look for him shall he appear. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin. Unto salvation. Without sin, unto salvation. Are you looking for him? I'd like to ask that question today as my first question on this broadcast. Are you really looking for Jesus? Are you really looking for Jesus? Are you really expecting him at any time to make his grand appearance? And are you ready to go? I tell you, that's going to be a grand day. I can imagine nothing more exciting than Jesus coming and me leaving, you leaving, us leaving together in the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the name of our blessed Redeemer forever and ever. Now, the broadcast today has a special name and a special direction. And I want you to really get this now. We're going to talk about Jerusalem for 6 weeks. Jerusalem. For 6 weeks. We're going to start today and talk about the Holy Ghost revival that will come to Jerusalem at the end of the tribulation period. Now, this revival doesn't occur until the 7 years of the Great Tribulation, when Jesus marches into Jerusalem after the Battle of Armageddon. After he defeats the Antichrist and that whole crowd is wiped off and cleaned out, and the Antichrist and the false prophet are already in hell in the lake of fire, that's when Jesus goes to Jerusalem and there will be a Holy Ghost revival. I'm telling you, all of Israel will be converted and will come to know the Lord Jesus. It's exciting. It's really overwhelming to know exactly what is awaiting us right here in front of us. And any moment now, that grand day of the rapture could occur. Now, it'd be 7 years before the great revival in Jerusalem. Oh, you say there may be one before then. I hope there is. I really do. But I see none of that before then. The real revival in the Bible for Jerusalem is at the end of the tribulation period. Now, there will be a limited kind of redemption of the 144,000 Jews. We'll read about that in a little bit. I think that could be a symbolic number. It could well be more than 144,000. That would be a minimal number. But I can tell you that we are living in such a day that Jerusalem is about to come into focus in a big way. Now, I wrote a letter to the president this week, President Donald Trump. And I wrote this letter. You know, he has a son-in-law that is a Jewish person, and his daughter, I understand, has probably converted to Judaism. And the president has some very strong feelings about Jerusalem. And I believe that's ordained of God. I believe God gave us Donald Trump not only for America, he gave him to us for Jerusalem and for the nation of Israel, because the time of the end is at hand, and no nation on the face of this earth, not even America, is going to be more in focus to God and to his business than Jerusalem. Jerusalem. All through the book of Revelation, you can see these tidbits about Jerusalem and the Jewish people. Now, the main thrust of Revelation is the coming end times, the great tribulation, the great cleansing and purifying of the earth, the coming kingdom of heaven, God, the new heaven and new earth, new Jerusalem. I mean, there's so much in the book of Revelation, but there's little tidbits all through the book of Revelation about the Jews. And I want to talk about that during these 6 weeks. I want to bring that into focus. Now, I've got one article that I'm giving today as a beginning of this, and the title is When Holy Ghost Revival Comes to Jerusalem. When Holy Ghost Revival Comes to Jerusalem. Now, one of the main things I've got here that should be on Facebook. It should be on Facebook, and you could read these 11 things. I've got the things that's going to happen to the Jewish people during the tribulation period. Now, please understand, the period between the rapture and the end of the tribulation period, 7 years, darkest time in human history on this earth. But there's little tidbits and little beautiful things about Jerusalem and about the nation of Israel. And so I'm focusing on them because I want you to get a picture. I want you to get a picture. Now listen to me. I want you to get a picture that the only end time prophetic view, the end time prophetic view, and there's several of them, post-millennialism, post-tribulationism, mid-tribulation, our millennial, there's just all kinds of views. And every one of those views has all kinds of different aspects and proponents and division. I mean, it really is a confused world when you talk about end time prophecy. But there's one idea that's not confused. And it rises above all of them. It is the biblical truth view, the biblical view. And it's the pre-tribulation rapture, the pre-tribulation rapture. And if you deny the pre-tribulation rapture, you throw the Bible's teachings about Jerusalem into nothing but consternation. You literally destroy everything God is saying about Jerusalem. And Israel, and the nation of Israel, and all the things that happened to them during these 7 years, if you deny the pre-tribulation rapture. I want to warn you now, when you deny the pre-tribulation rapture, you're actually becoming anti-Jewish. You actually become an anti-Jewish. That's really what's happening to you. You're putting Israel out of God's focus. You're putting Jerusalem out of God's plans. You're eliminating and a vital part of end time prophecy. And you just can't do that and be biblical. And that's why I'm always telling you that the pre-trib rapture is the heart of biblical prophecy about the end times. I mean the heart of it. Now, I want to know something right here at the beginning of this program. How many of you out there, you are hearing constantly in your church the warning to be ready for the rapture? You feel this bitterness of the imminence of the rapture. You know the coming of the Lord is at hand, and you feel it. Now, it doesn't affect you being a good member. It doesn't affect you being a good mother, a dad, a good pastor. It doesn't affect you doing a good job on your own. In fact, it'll make all these things better for you, and you'll do a better job at them if you are looking for the coming of the Lord. Read the Apostle Paul's 14 letters and see how overwhelming is this sense of the day of the Lord. How overwhelming. The early church lived in expectation of the day of the Lord. And that's what I'm trying to get you to do. Live in expectation of the day of the Lord. Because if you don't, you're going to miss it. He said unto them that look for him, shall he appear. That's the writings of Paul, that great apostle, the book of Hebrews. Unto them looking for him shall he appear. Don't you dare spend a day that you don't look for him. Look for him. It'll make you live good. It'll make you win souls. It'll make you a better church member. It'll make you want to pay your tithes. It'll make you quit taking all that money and putting it in some future, you know, some future kitty for some rainy day. And you'll realize it's already raining. And you'll get ready for the coming of the Lord. And you'll start using that money you got for the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, if I could get my whole audience to look for Jesus every day, I'd never have a financial need on this broadcast. I'd never have a need. Because you'd be so burdened to be a part of getting this message out that you would be willing to sacrifice and you'd want to sacrifice. Now, I'm not saying this to build my coffers. I'm here to tell you, I preach the truth before God. I got to answer to him. I got to answer to him. And that's really all that matters with me, is I got to answer to him. Now, Jerusalem. Jerusalem, how long has it been since you did what the Bible said and prayed for the peace of Jerusalem? How long? How long has it been since you literally wept over the Jewish needs and the Jewish situations and the Jewish burdens and the enemies that just encircle Israel and Jerusalem and hate everything that has the Jewish tab? I mean, they hate it. Do you know why Donald Trump is hated so ferociously? I'll give you two reasons why Donald Trump is hated so ferociously. And then there's some other minor reasons, but one of them is Jerusalem and the Jews. They've heard him say he wants to move the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. That would spark an interest. That would get the attention of this world. That would be the most magnificent thing. That would be the most biblical thing that Trump could do as it affects other parts of the world. I'm talking about America now, but as it affects the world as a whole, nothing he would do would be more magnificent than if he would move the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And I'm encouraging. I wrote him a special letter this week, mailed it overnight on Wednesday night. I'm looking to hear from him. I'm thinking of making that letter an open letter and putting it on Facebook and internet for you to read and you to see. He has a son-in-law. His name is Kushner. First name is Jared. And I ask him to let him listen to these next six programs get the articles and dissect what I'm saying so that he could understand that in his policies toward Jerusalem and toward the Jewish people. The greatness of a president is spelled out not only in how he treats America, and that's certainly very, very eminently important, but how he treats Israel. What is his feelings toward Jerusalem? What is his feelings toward Israel? And I know where we're living. I know the time in which we're living. I feel it. This idea of when that great revival comes to Jerusalem hit me at 2:30 on Monday morning in my bed trying to sleep. And I came awake like it was the midday and the Holy Spirit just poured those words into me when Holy Ghost revival comes to Jerusalem. Oh, I tell you, I lay there just about bouncing in the bed. I'm sure I woke Mother up because of my excitement. And I'm thrilled with this idea. And that's the name of this article. And you need a copy of it. I'm telling you, everybody out there needs to read this. It'll be on internet. It'll be on Facebook. It'll be available to you. We'll mail it. It'll go out to thousands this week. But I want you to have it. I really do. I hope it'll be on Rapture Ready. They put my last week's article up on Rapture Ready. I hope this goes there because this is one of the most important ones that I have said in some times. I'm telling you, it's a thrilling thing. It's a thrilling thing to do the things we do and to be part of what we are part of and to go forward in the name of the Lord, praising and doing His will. I'm telling you, call quickly, 1-800-338-7884. I don't know why our satellite keeps having little problems, but I know I've got enemy that would like to make them problems, but let's just go ahead with what we're doing. They'll find it, and I'm going to do the program. That's all I can do. That's all I can do. Hey, listen, now, Jerusalem, let me read you something. I mean, this Bible is so exciting when it comes to Jerusalem and Israel, and it really is exciting to me. I mean, overwhelmingly excited. Let me take you to Revelation. The rapture has taken place, and the tribulation period has begun. But listen to what God does. Listen, I mean, I want you to get the picture here of the rapture's in progress. Now, just started. We're in chapter 7. Chapter 4 was when the rapture took place. Chapter 4 and 5 was the preparation in heaven. Chapter 6, the horses went forth, beginning the tribulation process. And the great tribulation now is in full steam all over the world. I mean, the world is in consternation. But God does something magnificent. Listen to this. And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. Listen to this. Holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. And he said, saying, hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their forehead. Now these are people on the earth. They are all Jews. They are identified as the 12 different tribes of Israel. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. And they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now the Bible says, of all the tribes of the children of Israel, there were sealed 144,000, 12,000 of each of 12 tribes. Now, I think that could be a number that is a symbolic number, and it may include many more than that, but he's trying to communicate a message that as this tribulation time starts, God wants to set aside 144,000 Jews. He wants to seal them in their foreheads with a seal of God, and he wants to keep them pure and to keep them dedicated to him during this entire 7 years of the Great Tribulation. Now, that is magnificent stuff. Do you understand? That it shows how with the tribulation period in the earth, and the bride of Christ is in heaven with Christ. The bride of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, has already been raptured up to heaven. The church period is over. And so now God turns to the Jews and seals 144,000. And they become his witnesses in the earth all during this great period. That's going to be my subject next week. I'm going to show you all the details of these 144,000, where their place lies. So I won't go any further with this, but I just want you to get the picture that God himself is so concerned about the nation of Israel after the tribulation period begins that he pulls aside and seals 144,000. Now, if you read later in chapter 14, and we'll get to that next week, you will see that they are followers of Christ. They have been converted to the Lamb of God. And that is all pacific. It is plain. There's no question about it. There's no way to do anything else with it. They become the servants of God. So what really happens is there's this minimal revival after the rapture among the Jewish people, and 144,000 minimal are converted and sealed and preserved for God during this 7-year period. They're preserved to be God's witness and to be God's representatives. They have the seal of God. They're followers of Christ. And then you will see them in heaven in chapter 14. And then they will be at the marriage supper as the guest of Christ. I'm getting too far into that because that's next week's subject. But it's really beautiful. It's breathtaking. And it's Bible to the core. See, the book of Revelation is one of the greatest books you've ever studied. And if you've never studied it, you are missing something grand, because the whole end time scenario is laid out in details all through the book of Revelation. Nothing missing. Nothing not there. It's absolutely grand. It's beyond measure. It's wonderful. Oh, my friend, you got to get this message. You got to get this message. Now, all of my Facebook friends, you got to send this. Send this to everybody in your list. I've got nearly 5,000 friends, and every one of you ought to send everything I put out there, because all it is Bible material and things trying to reach this generation for Jesus. I want to get people ready for the rapture. I really do. I want to get people ready for the rapture. I don't have any burden greater than to get people ready for the rapture. Now, the book of Zechariah, that's going to come into focus during these next days, next five broadcasts with this one. The book of Zechariah, it is one of the books of the Old Testament that really focuses on the coming millennial reign. It focuses on this period of the triumph of the people of the Jews. In fact, one of the great scriptures is there shall be, I go to say things and sometimes I don't get them to come out like I want to say, but it makes it plain that it's going in that day. Here it is in Zechariah 13:1. In that day, there shall be a fountain open in the house of David. Listen now. In that day, there shall be a fountain open in the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I'm reading directly from the Bible. And in that day, there shall be a fountain open in the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. For sin and for uncleanness. In that day, there shall be a fountain open in the house of David for Jerusalem, for cleansing from sin and uncleanness. See, a Holy Ghost revival. Very clear. Now, Romans, book of Romans, Paul the Apostle, he adds to this tremendous material. For I would not, brethren, listen, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of the mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit. That blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. The fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, in chapter 4 of Revelation, you see the church caught up to heaven, and with the Lord, they're raptured. The church never called the church again. In the whole book of Revelation, they're called the priest of God, never called the church again. The whole book of Revelation never calls the church after chapter 3 of Revelation, because chapter 4, they're raptured, they're caught up to heaven, and then they're called priests. We see them as 20 and 4 high priests. kings and priests, and they reign with the Lord. They sit on thrones, lesser thrones. And then in chapter 5, we see them as a multitude, thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. And so these are the raptured saints. But now we see Jerusalem coming into focus, just like the Bible said. The Bible said, and so all Israel shall be saved. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now, when you compare that with the book of Zechariah 13:1, isn't that beautiful? You say, Brother Chambers, you're waking me up. I hope I am. I hope you understand that Jerusalem is mightily in focus in this grand history period. Mightily in focus. It is a beautiful thing. Now, here are some things that you got to remember. You got to remember all kinds of things are going to happen that has to do with Israel. And I've written down 11 of them. The first is, you know, the 20 and 4 elders in chapter 4 of Revelation 20:4. Well, there's only 12 apostles, and there was 12 patriarchs. And so here you have 24 representing the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints. The rapture is made up of Old Testament saints and New Testament saints. When our rapture takes place, the dead in Christ, the dead regenerated, are coming out of those graves, friend. And it's going to be Old Testament folks just like New Testament folks. If you don't understand that, you need to open your eyes, because it's very powerful. And then the 144,000, I just read that to you. And then the temple is going to be rebuilt in Jerusalem. The temple, the Jewish temple, is going to be rebuilt in Jerusalem. And once that temple is rebuilt, then the temple is going to be The temple worship will be reinstituted. The temple worship will be reinstituted in the middle of the 7 years, somewhere in the earlier part. How do you know that, Brother Chambers? Well, very easy. You go to the scripture, and this will be listed here in this text. You go to the scripture, and the Bible tells us that angels come down, and they measure the temple of God in Jerusalem. They measure it. See, they're authenticating that it's been rebuilt and that it's now in process and that the people are now in it worshiping, the Jewish people. And so the angels of God measure it. They don't only measure the temple, they measure the people who are worshiping in the temple. Hey, we'll study that as we move on through these subjects, because it's breathtaking. It just shows you that God's plan doesn't have anything missing, that God's plan has no blahs in it. It's all positive and beautiful. And all of this shows you that the pre-trib rapture has to occur, because all of this is thrown in complete consternation if you don't have the rapture. It's just out of focus. It just isn't there. Oh, I tell you, I love this Bible because it's so real. Now, I got more and more, but I want to open the lines. I'm already nearly 30 minutes into an hour, and so I got to have you on the phones. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Let me give you those numbers. I need you to call. This subject is so important. It is so breathtaking that you really have got to understand it. You've got to know what he's saying. You've got to get him in your head, in your mind, in your heart, because that's how important it is. And I want you to understand them. So, questions. I want your questions about Jerusalem and this Holy Ghost revival, about Jerusalem and Israel in the book of Revelation, about the 24 elders. There's those 12. Represent the old and 12 the new, of course. There's no other place in the Bible that 24 is used, but right here, it could be nothing else. How about the 144,000? That is spectacular. Spectacular how God stops the process, tells the angels, hold the wind, hold the storm, hold all the tribulation that's going on. Put everything on stop. Put everything on mute. Let me seal the servants of God in their forehead, and then you can start the tribulation period back. You can start all the storm back. You can start all the destruction back. God is so polished in what he does. I said, God is so polished in what he does. He never misses nothing. He's on time, and he's right there. Now, the number, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. The local number, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Grab your phone quickly. I'm here to tell you, I want your questions because I want everybody out there to get these answers. I want everybody out there to understand that in the end of the 7 years, Jerusalem will have the greatest Holy Ghost revival in Israel's history. It will be as great or greater. Well, I would say greater than the day of Pentecost. 3,000 were saved on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts. But how many is going to be saved on that day of Holy Ghost revival in Jerusalem? The Bible says every Jew living is going to be saved. All Israel shall be saved. All Israel shall be saved. Well, maybe some of them don't actually experience conversion that day, but the whole process starts. And I think very well it could be every last one of them, because this is the grandest hour, and you got to know what's already happened. I mean, the Battle of Armageddon there in Megiddo, that news has gone all over the globe. I mean, television screens have shown this great descent of Jesus on a white horse. And the great angels of God gathered with him, and all the saints gathered with him, and all Jerusalem has seen it. They heard that the Antichrist was gathered in Megiddo and going to march on Jerusalem. That's one of the programs I'm going to do, is how God is going to save Jerusalem from destruction in the middle of the tribulation period. And when those armies of the Antichrist are gathered in Megiddo and they are preparing to march on Jerusalem, and suddenly the Lord is seen in the sky coming down out of the heavens, hallelujah, with this multitude of saints, and all of that's on television and being seen in Jerusalem. And so all Israel will suddenly start getting ready, and when Jesus gets to Jerusalem to set up his kingdom, they'll be ready to surrender. They'll be ready to fall on their faces. They'll be ready to accept him. They'll be ready to serve him. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Now, I'm going to put the numbers up because I want you on the line, okay? I want you on the line. I want to talk with you. See, this subject is so broad and so breathtaking that me sitting here telling you all I want to tell you is okay. I got scriptures to read. I got all kinds of things to say. But if you asked a question that is relevant to this subject, it will probably do more to open people's understanding than all I can say. And this is so breathtaking. This is absolutely so breathtaking. I'm overwhelmed by it. I mean, when the Lord spoke to me Monday morning at 2:30, I've lived on this all week. I've been chewing on this. I'm telling you, the truth of the Bible is so satisfying, it's overwhelming. Now, grab your phone. I'm telling you, you all over the nation, all over the globe, anywhere you are, you grab your phone, or you grab your mouse and send a question on the internet. I'm fixing to go to my email and get your questions there while I'm waiting on you to grab a phone. Everybody out there, talk about with me Jerusalem, what Jerusalem means to you. Are you looking for the rapture? See, when you talk about Jerusalem, you put that rapture right in focus. You put that rapture in front of people so clearly and so vividly that they cannot even think of not believing and looking for Jesus to come at any moment. You will have no notice except what I'm giving you and what any other godly preacher who preaches this book gives you. That's the only notice you're going to have. If you don't get ready, friend, you say, maybe God will send us a sign in the sky. I hope he does. I hope he does things in the heavens that literally scare the daylights out of wicked people and thrill the souls of the saints of God. I'm telling you, I'm looking for those kind of things. I really am. I just have this gut feeling, this inner feeling, that things are fixing to happen so breathtaking and so fast and so quick. And so wonderful. And I want to get that president going ahead and moving that embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And I want him to say the things that he needs to say. And I want him to put a stop to the Iranians and their determination to destroy the whole nation of Israel. I mean, they are determined. And he's got just the bums to do it with. He proved that in Afghanistan last week, okay? I mean, they in the making, friend. And I want him to feel it. And I want him to see it. And I want want you to understand we are at a breathtaking hour. Now, have you grabbed your phone yet? I'm looking for you to grab your phone. I want to get a call from you. I want to hear from you. I want to know what you are thinking on this subject. Let me see here if I have any questions. Well, I guess I don't. I really think you would want to ask some things that are so breathtaking in this hour. We are living so near the coming of the Lord that is overwhelming to me. It really is overwhelming. I'm trying to make sure here I don't miss nothing. You are important to me. And if I can say anything that will help you and get to your attention, it will be my joy. It will be my joy. This says, Joseph, we want... Oh, okay. That's something different. I get so many emails. I get tired of them. I really do. Now, I want to hear from you. You are important to me. I want your question. I will do my best to answer. And I'm waiting on your phone calls because I want you to be part of this broadcast. I want to hear from you. I want you to have a question answered. I want you to order this book. Now, everybody out there, everybody, period, everybody, you must order this booklet. It's already prepared. All they got to do is put it in booklet form, and it'll be ready. It'll go out on the internet as it is. But many of you are not on the internet with me. You can go and you can be there. All you got to go is to paulcreek.org and look up Open Bible Dialogue. And in about an hour, you'll have this very program right there. And this article will be right there. And you can hear it or the program or read the article. I want you to get educated. I want you to get this Bible way down under your collarbone. And I want you to get this truth moving in your heart and soul. Now, the number to call, 1-800-338-7884. I think the phones are working great today, and I can answer your calls. My wife and I tried it, and it worked beautiful. We're getting the police involved in this hacker that we've dealt with for over a year, and I expect him probably to be in jail very shortly. We've let him know that we're doing something. We've taken it all. We're going to take it, and then we're going to do what has to be done. And I'm perfectly willing to sign a warrant for him being put under the jail and probably spending the rest. You can't hack things like this and not have to pay for them. This is international stuff. This is federal stuff. This is stuff that really is dangerous. And I feel sorry for this man, but he's been a bullhead and he's been ugly. And he just determined. But God has his number. I can tell you that. Isn't that wonderful that God is in charge? Now, I'm waiting on your calls, waiting on your questions. Okay, you are important to me, and whatever I can do to help you understand this subject, I am delighted. Now, let me take you while you're calling. Let me take you to Book of. Well, I've already read that Romans picture, and that is beautiful. But I want you to know that if you'll get into Zechariah this week, you will learn some things in Zechariah that will bless you. Really, really profoundly, because Zechariah is all about this coming hour, all about this coming hour, and it's going to be literally breathtaking. Let me read you this from Zechariah while the calls are coming in, and I pray that they are, and I'm ready, of course, to help. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem. I mean, how many scriptures could you read about the glory of this day of Jerusalem? When Jerusalem shall have this Holy Ghost revival, when Jesus will come there and set up his kingdom to reign from Jerusalem over the entire earth. And it says, and it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord and one, and his name one. And his name one. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Jemon, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place. And it talks about this great garden that will cover Jerusalem. Jerusalem will extend to over 60 miles square. 60 miles in both directions, square, reaching basically from the Mediterranean Sea to the Red Sea, and it's going to be a garden. The mountains will come down level, and the valleys will come up lush and full of vegetation and growth and prosperity. It's going to be a breathtaking day. It really is, and you ought to be understanding it, because we are living for this. This day is at hand, and all of this religiosity that people are involved in, and there's no preaching of the rapture and the end times and the coming of the Lord and living ready to go with Jesus when he comes. No preaching of that in most churches. I mean, I have people telling me I haven't heard a sermon on the rapture in so long I don't remember it. Well, you ought to get out of such a church, because it isn't a church. It's just a religious club. I mean, if you're not getting people ready for the rapture, you're not a church. If you're not getting people ready to go up with Jesus when he comes, you're not a church. Preacher, listen to me. You're not no gospel preacher if you aren't getting people ready for the rapture. You're not gospel preacher if you aren't warning people of the coming 7 years of the great judgment. You're no gospel preacher if you're not telling people about the 1,000-year millennial reign and the great glory of Christ's kingdom when we shall reign with him 1,000 years. You're hireling. You're working for a payday, you know, and it's a sad situation. It really is. And I'm crying out to you. It's time to get yourself ready for the coming of the Lord. Now grab your phone. My lines are open, or at least some of the lines are open, and I want to answer your question. And I'm really going to kind of wait on you here, because this subject is so grand that just me talking is not enough for you. You really need to see how God is going to make Jerusalem. You see, do you know this? I hope you do. I hope you've been told this, learned this, studied this, read it in your Bible, that it was God who chose Jerusalem as his city. Jerusalem is not the city of just the Jews. It is their city, yes, as a family, but it's God's choice. Over 800 times the word Jerusalem is in your Bible. Over 800 times. And that doesn't count all the euphemisms for Jerusalem. The word Zion often applies to Jerusalem. There are many beautiful words that apply to Jerusalem. But Jerusalem itself, just that single name, over 800 times. It's the greatest city in the world. It's the center of the earth. It's where the very heart of God is. It's where Jesus came. And where he ascended from, remember. He both came there to be born, Bethlehem, just a few miles away. And he left from there, to ascend to heaven. And I'm telling you, after he goes to Megiddo and defeats the Antichrist, he goes straight to Jerusalem. Brother Chambers, now, you don't believe Jerusalem is that important. I don't believe it. I know it. I know what the Bible says. I just believe the Bible. I just believe the Word of God. I just believe it's pure. It's single. Nothing like it. And I want you to understand it. And I want you to get in it. And I want it to become part of your life. I really do. Now, grab your phone. 1-800. I'm waiting for your questions. 1-800. All about that great Holy Ghost revival coming to Jerusalem. And the things we will study as we head in that direction will be the 144,000. 144,000 saved and sealed by God after the rapture. That's beautiful. Why would so many Jews be immediately converted after the tribulation period starts? Well, you got to understand, they saw all the empty graves in Jerusalem. Probably thousands and thousands of empty graves were visible the morning after the rapture, because the Bible says the graves will be open. They won't just come out through the dirt. They'll be open. They don't need to open them for the saints to get out, but they need to open them so you can see in. They want you to know they're gone. That's what God wants you to know. And so when that happens, that's going to be grand. And the Jews are going to see it big time. They're going to see it big time. And every Jewish person will be able to look back into their scriptures, Zechariah and other great books of the Old Testament, and see we missed it. We missed it. We didn't recognize our Messiah. But we got to surrender to him now. And all these thousands will surrender to him. And it will be a breathtaking moment. It really will. It'll be a breathtaking moment. And then just a study about the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. That's really an overwhelming thing. That's an overwhelming thing. Did you know they've already got the cornerstone? They've already got much of the stones already prepared. They've already prepared the gowns and all the attire for the priest. They've got the horns to blow, and they've got all these things already done. These things are ready. These things are ready, folks. They've tried for how many years to go up on the mount and lay the cornerstone, and they would be stopped by the police and the Palestinians would not let them up there. And that stone's cut and ready. I mean, everything is ready to rebuild that temple on the Temple Mount. It will be a tribulation temple. It won't be anything like Solomon's temple. It won't be anything like the future millennial temple. You see that in the book of Ezekiel, starting about 40, 41 through 42, 43. You see the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. That's going to happen after the tribulation period during the millennium. That'll be where Jesus no doubt sits on his throne. It'll be magnificent. It'll be so close to the temple in heaven, it'll be hard to tell the difference probably. But that's going to be a grand day. And all of that. And then we're going to look at that the angels that come down from heaven into Jerusalem, and they literally measure the temple in Jerusalem. After it's finished, they'll measure it. Everything's in focus. Everything's ready. God's leaving nothing uncared about, unpreserved. It's just all beautiful. And then the Antichrist defiles that temple. See, that has to happen in the middle of the 7 years. So they're going to have to hastily build that temple in Jerusalem. Once the rapture takes place, they probably can do it in 6 months, maybe a year at the most. And so that temple will be in focus, and the Antichrist puts his image in the Jewish temple. That's called the abomination of desolation. The abomination of desolation. We're going to look at that. That'll bring us into the book of Daniel. That'll bring us into the writings of Matthew and John 24. Matthew 24. That'll carry us into the book of Luke chapter 21. That'll carry us in different portions of the Bible. And we'll see how this abomination of desolation brings great gloom. And that's called Jacob's trouble. See, we Gentiles in the New Testament talk about the tribulation period. The Great Tribulation. That's what Jesus called it. But the Old Testament writers had previously named it Jacob's Trouble. I was in Israel, and we went to a kibbutz. I think I said that name close to right, kibbutz, where they have, you know, all these community of Jewish people, and they do different factories or farming, whatever they do. And we was in one of those kibbutz, and I met a Jewish family, and I asked if we could go to their home and visit with them. And oh, they were tickled to death. And we went in their home to visit, and I'm sitting there listening to them. And I said, I want to ask you something that I perceive is a future thing. And I said, we read in your Bible that it's called Jacob's trouble. We read in our Bible that we call it a tribulation period. Do you understand? Are you told? Are you warned? And oh, they went, I mean, they became very, very involved. I mean, sad to a great degree, gloomy. They said, yes, our greatest trouble is yet to come. We've got a dark hour that's coming. We call it Jacob's trouble. And yes, it is coming. And we do know that. We don't know when. We don't know how. We don't know the P's and Q's of it. We just know it's going to happen. And they said this to me right there in Israel, in this kibbutz, in this home of a Jewish family. Well, that intrigued me. So on the plane coming home, I wound up sitting beside a rabbi from New York. A rabbi from New York. And so I engaged him in a friendly conversation, and we had a nice time talking the long ride. And I said to him, I told him what had happened at the kibbutz and what we had discussed. And I said, can you tell me what you understand about this time of trouble? He said, yes. He said, our rabbis have warned us through the years. And he named some rabbis. I took a couple of them. I'd studied a little bit of them. Can't call their names right now. It's been a while. But he said, they warned us that our darkest trouble was yet ahead of us, that our darkest hour is yet to come. And they called it Jacob's trouble. And they just knew that at some point, all of the things had to come to a head. They, I'm sure, think of the Iranians as part of that dark hour. They very likely think of the Russians as part of that dark hour. Probably the Syrians. Who knows all that they may think of. But I'm telling you, friend, I mean, we're talking about things that are really on target. We are at this hour. Do you understand me? I don't think most of you understand. I think your churches are so lazy and your preachers are so misdirected that they don't understand these things and they're not prepared to talk about them. You on the air, may I help you please?
Yes, Brother Chambers, I appreciate your message today and I'm in total agreement with you.
So you do understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir, I do.
Why do so many churches don't even talk about this?
I believe they're deceived. But Brother Chambers, you earlier in your broadcast said that you were hoping for a sign in heaven that would awaken people. Have you been doing research on the Revelation 12 and the once in a lifetime alignment of the stars on September 23rd?
Well, I have not studied that in particular. I've done a little bit of a view of that. And I see on the internet all, just very often, someone in some place hearing these great horns in the heavens. There's been a number of things. And there's so much fake news. I haven't got into them. I know what the book of Acts chapter 2 says. There'll be signs in the heavens above. I know these things are coming. And what you're saying could well be something in the making.
Brother Chambers, I encourage you to look at it, because just...
You said Revelation 12.
Revelation chapter 12.
Which verses? I don't recall anything that would suggest this.
I'm sorry?
Revelation 12, which verses?
Well, in the beginning, it talks about a virgin clothed in the sun.
Oh, yes.
Stars at her head and the moon at her feet.
Yes, but you know, I believe that was fulfilled... I believe that was fulfilled in the rapture. I believe that man-child is the saints of God raptured up to be his priest.
Sir, yes, sir, I totally agree with you. That is actually happening in the sky, in the stars. Virgo is the virgin. Jupiter is the planet that she's pregnant with, and that you can see tonight if you go outside and have a star app.
Will you send me this information? I want to see it. I want to read it. You're saying that what is in Revelation 12 is actually being played out in the sky.
Yes. Yes. On September 23rd, the 12 stars will be at her head and the moon will be at her feet. It has never happened in the celestial stars.
You've got my interest. I'm one of those... people that so live in this Bible that I got to see it, and I'm going to pray about it, and I'm going to dig into that, and I'm going to look that up. Now, what is the name of the planets again that I need to look up?
Virgo is the constellation, which of course is the Virgin, which stands for Jerusalem.
Okay.
Jupiter is the man-child that will be born.
Okay.
Currently, that planet has been inside of that constellation. It will be 40 weeks in September. That planet has been inside the constellation all these weeks.
Now, do you have that in written form?
Brother Chambers, it's not in written form. It's in the sky currently.
I understand, but somebody's got to have explained it. Just like you explained it. I want these words in front of me, and I want to study them. Please don't think I'm being negative toward you. I'm not.
No, sir.
I don't just take something like this that and go hog wild. I have to study it, and the Holy Ghost has to help teach me.
I agree. The Holy Ghost revealed this, drew me to this information 6 weeks ago, and I reverently am calling you because I believe if all of us truly believe that the rapture is coming soon, if every one of us tells five people, I believe this message can be around the world in a matter of weeks.
Yeah, well, it's very sweet of you. Now, I need you to give my wife your name and phone number, okay? Whoever answers the phone in there, because I want to keep up with this and I want to take a look at it. It's intriguing, and I'm one of those that loves this Bible. So I'm gonna put you on hold, and you give me their phone number and their name, and I'm gonna see who else knows anything about this. Okay? So you hold on, hold on, ladies. Please get her name and number. Give her your name and phone number. Now, you know, this is encouraging, but it's I don't go hog wild over nothing, except what's in the Bible, and then I study it, and it all may be legitimate or it may not be. But those ladies they'll get her phone number. They'll let me know, and I'll talk with her. And I want to tell you something. I don't need that to tell me the rapture could take place any minute. I'm telling you, it's fixing to happen. That rapture is fixing to happen. I do not believe Donald Trump will finish his first 4 years. I believe we'll be gone in the rapture. Now, he'll be here unless he gets purely right with God. And I don't know where he stands with God, but I'm trying my best to get in touch with him. I'm trying to get him in this Bible. I'm trying to get him in my book, The Masterpiece. I'm trying to get him to listen to these broadcasts. I want him to wake up to how important he is to Jerusalem and to America. I love what's taking place in America, and I do believe we're making some progress. Now, the lines are open, so you need to call quick. I mean, this is exciting. I wish I had another hour. You on the air. May I help you, please?
The only reason I called, I was busy. I was going somewhere, and I'm hoping I'll scare some of the people to listen to your program. I don't want to talk. The woman is absolutely correct, and there's a voluminous amount of information on it. One of the places you might go is John Moore, former Naval Intelligence.
Okay, will you send me that in a text or on the internet?
Okay, but I don't want to talk about that. I'd rather scare some of your people, because J.D. Welch, who is not, she's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, but she's not a preacher or anything of the sort. But she's an expert on technology, and she was on a program last week, and she was talking about, she said, you do not know the degree to which Google, search engine, Facebook, and other social media are being used by the Luciferians behind the scenes to gather information on everybody. And she said, I think it ties in perfectly with the world of the Antichrist during the tribulation period. So, in other words, it's late. I don't know why these preachers are not telling their people about this stuff.
It makes me so angry that people today are so unwilling, I guess that's the word, to get into their Bible and see what in the world is going on. It's overwhelming. And if people out there aren't scared, I don't know why they wouldn't be. Go ahead. The phone, this keeps happening. Has to do with my hacker, but he'll be in jail before you know it. Yeah. Go ahead.
Sir, I just wanted to disturb some people that are listening, that are attending, singing good songs and saying ha la 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 la, and they don't know what's going on all around them.
Well, you're right. I can tell you this. Now, listen, I have to get this off. I'm telling you, it never has it been a day when so much is being done and said and so much is taking place to get us ready for the coming of the Lord. And when the Holy Ghost spoke to me last Monday morning now, in my bed at 2:30, woke me, slapped out of my sleep. I come up in the bed, and the Lord said, Jerusalem will soon have a Holy Ghost revival. And I never heard of that thought in my life. Does that thought does that ring a bell with you?
Yes, yes. I can only say one thing. Hallelujah.
Jerusalem will have a Holy Ghost revival at the end of those 7 years. And I never heard the thought. Here I am talking about it on radio with only a few days since. But I can tell you one thing, it's ringing a bell. If people don't get shook, I don't know what it's going to take to shake them.
They're going to be like that lady that was in the parking mall that got blindsided by those crooks that stole her ring and everything. They're going to be totally surprised.
And it could be today. Pray for me to be able to get a hold of our president, will you? I need everybody praying for that. If I could get an audience with him, get my book in his hand, and show him how important he is to go ahead and move that embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, that will shake the world.
Praise the Lord.
Do you believe it'll shake the world?
Yes.
It'll shake the world. And it's exactly what they need. And see, the reason Donald Trump is hated is because God put him where he's at. Not only is he doing great things for America, but he's doing the right things to put America back where she ought to be in the leadership of the world. He's letting people know, hey, there's a new sheriff in town, and it's not going to be the Obama situation any longer. Obama was from hell, I'm telling you. He was a devil.
I like Trump, and I like the last Trump.
Woo! That's what I'm really waiting for, brother. Thank you. I love you. Hey, call me quickly. 1-800-338-7884. If you're not stirred and you're not shook right now, I don't know what it would take. I'm telling you, in 7 years from now, the revival could be in progress in Jerusalem. In 7 years from right now, the revival could be in progress in Jerusalem. It's just that close. It's really just that near. We are at the hour, my dear friend, and it's going to be wonderful. Now, you know, what do I say? Let me see if there's any emails here. You know, I want so much to get your attention. I really do. Don't see any emails, so I presume that there's not any. I don't know why, but some of you out there sleeping, many of you just, you're not concerned about the coming of the Lord. That's just not on your heart. You'd rather be making money. You'd rather be over somewhere at a ball game. You'd rather be somewhere having a pleasure trip. You take tomorrow, and you'll fish, and you'll do all kinds of things instead of going to the house of God, and yet you claim to be a Christian. I'm sorry. If your church isn't warning you that you better get ready for that rapture, you need to get out of that dead place and get your churches on fire. Now, I'm preaching in the morning. Listen to me. I'm preaching in the morning on why multitudes of prayers are not being answered. Why multitude of prayers are not being answered. And I'm going to tell you the solution to your prayers being answered. I'm going to tell you how to pray and the attitude of prayer and the biblical truth behind prayer that will shake and change your life if you'll give me a chance. The Holy Ghost really poured that in me in the middle of a night this week. He really did. I'm telling you. And if God's ever moving in my life to get the truth to people, I am feeling it. It's hitting me upside the head. I'm overwhelmed by it. I'm going to give my all. And here I am, an old 80-some-year-old man. My poor wife is a little older than I. And we're struggling. I'm trying to find somebody to get ready to take this kind of program over. But I don't find nobody that's got the courage that know the Bible good enough. You don't know the Bible. You don't get on like this. But I thank God it's all for His glory. Now, I need your help financially. This week, I need a $20,000 miracle. This week, I need a $20,000 miracle. I've been begging of you. I've been pushing you. I've been trying to get you to help me. I've made a little progress, but not there. I've got to have your help. I've got to have it this week. Now quit sitting on your laurels and putting your money in a savings account for some enemy to get. At the end, when the rapture comes, you're going to be gone. And what good is all that cash that you stored away for a rainy day? Because there'll be no blessing to it when you didn't put it in God's work. I hope you will. Hey, I'd love to have you in church tomorrow. I really am excited about this sermon tomorrow. I'm excited about the program next week. Next week, 140 and 4,000. All about the Jews and how God, the tribulation period just begins and God puts everything on hold while He seals 144,000 Jews. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, it really is breathtaking. The Bible is just a breathtaking book and you haven't seen the half of it. You haven't seen the half of it. I love you. I got to go. You are a blessing. God bless you. Let me get some music coming here because I want to bless you. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming soon.
My loved ones all knew me.
Hey, I've got time. I got time to put that on hold a minute. Got a little time here. Let me give you the numbers to call. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. The toll-free number is 1-800-338-7884. My operators are standing by. They want your call. They want to send you this booklet. They want your gifts to help us stay in the air, on the air, doing this kind of work for God. When would you ever hear a program like this today? When? Have you ever heard one? There's just so few preachers who are really into it. I'm telling you, it's time to get ready, folks. It's time to get ready. I love you. I love you.
They took me down the streets of heaven.
Love you.
Oh, the seats too many. I talked with Mark and Timothy. Oh, but I said, Timothy,